Philippians chapter 3, if you will. Would you please stand out of love and respect for the Word of God if you are physically able? We're going to begin in verse 7 and read down through verse 17 this morning. And I'll read the odd verses by myself. You can join me out loud on the even verses as we read responsively here in Philippians chapter 3. Beginning in verse 7, it says, "But what things were gain to me, those I counted loss for Christ. Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know him, and the power of his resurrection, and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death, if by any means I might attain unto the resurrection of the dead. Not as though I had already attained, either were already perfect, but I follow after, if that I may apprehend that for which also I am apprehended of Christ Jesus. Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, and reaching forth unto those things which are before, I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. Let us therefore, as many as be perfect, be thus minded, and if in anything ye be otherwise minded, God shall reveal even this unto you. Nevertheless, whereto we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule, let us mind the same thing. Brethren, be followers together of me, and mark them which walk so as ye have us for an ensample." Well, here we are once again, and as we kind of look at verse 14 in general, it says, "I press toward the mark for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus." And that's what I feel like God has kind of pressed upon me, if you will, this year for the theme for our church is "I press toward the mark." We've talked about just years past and being able to be here now, kind of beginning my third year as pastor. We've talked about each one reaching one. We've talked about last year cultivating the things in our Christian life. And now as we move forward as a church body, as the if you will, the bride of Christ, preparing for the return of our Lord, there's some action required. There's something on our part that we need to do. We're the ones that need to be pressing. We're the ones that need to be asserting ourselves toward Christ and toward the kingdom, toward the things of God. This is our opportunity. You see, God wants us to have an individual part. And that's why in the theme of things for the church, and wherever here it is, I left the word "I press toward the mark" instead of just saying "press toward the mark." I wanted to make it a personal endeavor. It's something that we all should try to do. We all should try to accomplish this thing of press toward the mark. So last week I kind of introduced the idea and the sentiment behind the theme for our church for this year, this 2023, which so far has been a very lovely 2023 weather-wise, right? And I hope you had an enjoyable first week. Now, as we kind of get into this thing, there are some things that Paul leads up to and helps us to understand. And so over the next several Sunday mornings, we're going to kind of dissect or take apart this idea of what is it going to take for me to be able to press toward the mark this year. We're going to discover, we talked about last week what it meant to press, to urge, to enforce, to bear with force, to push with force. That's the idea behind what we want to accomplish as far as press goes. But as we look at how to accomplish that,
What can I do? How can I achieve this? What's going to get me to that point, to where we are accomplishing this task? It is something that God wants us to be a part of. But how to get to that place is sometimes the mystery, is sometimes the difficulty that we encounter. So if we look at what Paul says, and it starts here in verse 7, he says, "But what things were gained to me, those I counted loss for Christ." He said, "Yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ." He talks about his life in the past and the previous verses and his heritage and his credentials, if you will, as far as knowing about the things of God. But as I kind of look at what he says, as he leads up to verse 14 and verse 13, Paul says this, "Brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, but this one thing I do." And so he's about to tell us, how is Paul the apostle, how is he going to achieve this idea of urging or enforcing or bearing with force or pushing with force or continuing on, encroaching in this idea of the Christian life and the Christian race. The first thing he mentions, and that's what I want to focus on today, is simply one word title, forgetting. And as I got to look up this word, forgetting, obviously in the dictionary, it's simply losing the remembrance of. But in Scripture, the word forgetting is only mentioned this time in the Bible. I thought that was curious. Now, the word forget and forgetteth are mentioned several times in Scripture, according to, you know, with different purposes, etc. But this word forgetting is the only time it's mentioned in Scripture. So as Paul says and makes the statement, "This one thing I do," he says, forgetting those things which are behind. Now, there's not a lot of detail as to what exactly he's talking about. Is he talking about his past life or life before salvation? That's a possibility. Okay? Is he talking about the accomplishments that have already been made in his life to Christ to this date? That's a possibility. Is he talking about any of the failures and things in his life that have already happened? Is he talking about those things? That's also a possibility. So guess what? I just gave you the 3 points of today's message. He doesn't say what things he's forgetting. He's just saying, "This one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind." Now, those three topics that I just mentioned, life before Christ, the successes in Christ, and the failures since Christ, all those things, are those all on the table as far as forgetting those things which are behind? Absolutely. They absolutely are. And folks, if we're going to be successful in 2023 with a determination and a theme or a banner or a sentiment for this year of "I press toward the mark," we actually need to follow this strategy. We need to forget some things. You say, "But Pastor, the Bible is full of references of remember, remember, remember." Oh, yes, it is. But do you understand what Paul is getting at? He says, "I've got to work with the now. If I'm going to press toward the mark, I can't have all this baggage. I can't have these things, either positive or negative, drawing me backwards away from the mark. I need to cut the ties. I need to make sure that there is nothing hindering me from pressing toward the mark." And folks, listen. There are lots of things that we ought to remember. God says remember him, right? We talked about remembrance. There's another message that I preached about that. And those things are certainly very important. But this is having to do with us. This is having to do with our life. And listen, your life before Christ was something. Okay? You were lost and condemned already in your trespasses and sins. And listen, Paul used accounts in his life to, as a reference for what God was doing in his life currently. That's all applicable. But in other words, what he's trying to say is we need to let go of those things. We don't need to hold on to those things because here's what happens. If you remember your carnal, filthy, old past life, the devil will use it as a snare to keep you from serving God. The Bible says, therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. You know, it's good to give your testimony. It's good to maybe even tell people, look, I've lived that kind of life. I mean, Paul makes reference to it, and the apostles make reference to it in the New Testament. But we don't dwell on those things. We don't live there anymore. Don't let that be an anchor to keep you from pressing toward the mark. Jesus, as he was talking about this people following him, in Luke chapter 9, he said, and it came to pass as they went in the way, a certain man said unto him, Lord, I will follow thee whithersoever thou goest. And Jesus said unto him, foxes have holes and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man hath not where to lay his head. And he said unto another, follow me. But he said, Lord, suffer me first to go and bury my father. And Jesus said unto him, let the dead bury the dead, but go thou and preach the kingdom of God. And another also said, Lord, I will follow thee, but let me first go and bid them farewell, which are at my home and my house. And Jesus said unto him, no man, having put his hand to the plow and looking back, is fit for the kingdom of God. If we're going to press toward the mark, we've got to forget the old life, the carnal life. And, you know, later on, Jesus talks about, and remember, many of his disciples went back. He said, unless you hate father, mother, brother, sister, right? I mean, it talks about all those relationships. And of course, he's not telling us to hate one another. But he says, you've got to let that go. You've got to forget those things. I have to be your focus. You need to be looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith. You need to be a heavenward in your sight and looking toward the things of God. And these other things just kind of fade away. That's forgetting this carnal life. If we're going to press toward the mark, we've got to have tunnel vision, if you will. Jesus Christ has to be our ultimate focus. And guess what? When Jesus spoke and said, but seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and what? All these things shall be added unto you. Where does our focus need to be? On Christ. Many of you, maybe you've gone to a marriage seminar or some kind of a marriage conference or something like that. Or maybe you read a book on marriage. What is one of the most common things that you see as far as an illustration about marriage? Anybody? The triangle illustration. Y'all seen that one? You have the husband and the wife on each side of the triangle on the corners. And Jesus Christ at the top. And as what? As you move toward Jesus Christ, what happens to the husband and wife? They draw closer together. But what is the focus necessarily on building this relationship? That's a byproduct. What's the focus? Building this relationship. And what naturally happens? The other relationships work themselves out. So as we love Christ more, what's going to happen to our love for the brothers and sisters in Christ? It's going to grow. What's the love for our families going to do? It's going to grow. As we focus on Christ and forget these other things that are on the sides here, what's going to take place in us? It's going to grow. We're going to press toward the mark. Over in Romans chapter 6, it says, what shall we say? Then shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? And at our camps for kids and things, we sing a song. The things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. The things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. The things I used to do, I don't do them anymore. There's been a great change since I've been born again. There's some things that we don't do anymore. Because they're part of the old life. You know what we don't need to be? We don't need to be the dog that returneth to its vomit. We don't need to go back to that old life. You say, oh, those things were so great. Were they? You know, I this has come up a few times. There were TV shows and movies and things that I watched as a kid, as a teenager, that I probably should have never have watched. And I'll sometimes think back to them. Oh, that was a great show. So maybe every once in a while I'll maybe get one or find it or something like that. And I'll watch it. And now, as being a Christian a much longer period of time, I'm like, I used to watch that? This is really bad. This is not good at all. You know, our remembrance of things just maybe isn't what it... Hey, listen. Sin is pleasurable to the carnal flesh. But if I'm going to live in the Spirit and walk in the Spirit, I've got to die to the flesh. I've got to say no to some of those things. There ought to be places that you don't go anymore. Things that you don't do anymore. Relationships that you don't nurture anymore. The Bible has a lot to say about that. We've got to forget these things that are behind. Some of these things of the old life. He says, let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Can I tell you something? The devil will try to draw you back into sin. He'll tell you, remember how great it was? Now, thankfully, my mom and dad raised us right. Alcohol was not an issue. Drugs were not an issue. Smoking was not an issue for me. That's a vice that I have zero interest in. First of all, I don't know why you would like to chew on a campfire. I can't understand that. Secondly, I don't know why you want to drink old, moldy grain. I have no idea why anybody would want to do that. Okay? It smells awful. On both accounts. Okay? So I have zero interest. That is not a vice that the devil can get me on. I have zero interest in those things. But some of you maybe have had difficulty with those things in your lifetime. But you know what? There are some things, some vices that I've had difficulty with in my life. Some things that I'm more susceptible to maybe than you are. But you know what the old devil tries to do? He tries to get us to remember how great that sin was. How pleasurable that sin was. How much we enjoyed that sin. And he tries to draw us back into it again and again and again. So one of the things that I think Paul is alluding to here, he says, hey, forgetting those things which are behind. We've got to forget them. We've got to leave them behind. And we talked about the word forsake recently. We need to forsake it. Confess it and forsake it. Don't go back to it anymore. Or, as I mentioned in the message, just stop. Over in Colossians chapter 2, the Bible tells us, as ye have therefore received Christ Jesus the Lord, so walk ye in him, rooted and built up in him, established in the faith, as ye have been taught, abounding therein with thanksgiving. Beware lest any man spoil you through philosophy and vain deceit, after the tradition of men, after the rudiments of the world, and not after Christ. For in him dwelleth all the fullness of the Godhead bodily, and ye are complete in him, which is the head of all principality and power. in whom also ye are circumcised with the circumcision made without hands, in putting off the body of the sins of the flesh by the circumcision of Christ. We talked about circumcise your heart. Remember that? We need to make sure that we follow through. He goes on and says, not only were we circumcised, he says, buried with him in baptism, wherein also ye are risen with him through the faith in the of the operation of God, who hath raised him from the dead. And you, being dead in your sins, in the uncircumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened. And you know how much I love that word. Vivified. Amen. Made alive again. Quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross. You know what that tells me? Forget it. Forget it. Get it out of your mind. Lose the remembrance of the carnal life. Lose the remembrance of sin. We need to make sure that we get it out of our lives. In Romans chapter 8, Paul says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Folks, we must. If we're going to press toward the mark, we have a new life to live in Jesus Christ. We are made a new creature. We have good works that we're supposed to walk in and live unto. We have a testimony to build. We have a world to reach for Christ. And we don't have any business remembering the old life. Don't go back to it. Don't long for it. Don't desire it. I mean, look, I don't have time, but go back and look at the Old Testament. Just as soon as they could, getting out of Egypt, they said, oh, Moses, why'd you bring us out here in the desert to die? Remember! Oh, we had leeks. I've never eaten a leek. Is it any good? Maybe they are. I don't know. It's some kind of celery type vegetable, is it not? An onion. Oh, okay. I like onions. Remember how good we had it in bondage. Are you understanding? I mean, the Lord delivered them. They spoiled Egypt. The Red Sea went. I mean, wow! And so soon, they're longing to go back into bondage. Christian, we can't press toward the mark if we're longing to go back in bondage. Longing for that old life. Remember how fun it was? No, remember how damning it was? We need to forget the carnal life. Secondly, today, I think Paul was maybe alluding to forgetting the failures. The Bible tells us a just man falleth 7 times and riseth up again. Folks, our life in the Christian life is not going to be without stumbling. It's not going to be without failure. But if the devil can get you to dwell on those failures, to think about all the times that you've failed the Lord. Think about all the times that you've come down to an old-fashioned altar and poured out your heart to God and said, God, I'll do anything. God, I'll follow you anywhere. God, remove this thing from my life and I'll go forward and serve you. And you walk out that door and you repeat the process over and over again. The devil will hold his foot on your neck and say, you can't serve God. Think about all the times you've failed him. Think about all the times that you've defied His grace and defied His mercy and you've spit in the face of the Lord by sinning and sinning and sinning and sinning and sinning. Folks, if you live there, you'll never serve God. You'll never reach that mark. We've got to forget those things which are behind. Hey, I'm not saying that we have to say, well, oh, it doesn't mean anything. No, it does mean something. Yes, we did do those things, but God's grace is greater. God's mercy is greater. And guess what? He still loves us, even with all of our faults. But if we confess our sin, He is faithful and just to do what? forgive us our sin and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. You know, we ought not to want to fail. But can I tell you, failure may come. And let me tell you this, just because you fail doesn't mean it's over for you. Remember this exchange? Matthew 26. And when they had sung a hymn, they went out into the Mount of Olives. This is a high point here. They had just experienced the first Lord's Supper with Jesus, right? Then Jesus saith unto them, all ye shall be offended because of me this night. For it is written, I will smite the shepherd, and the sheep of the flock shall be scattered abroad. But after I am risen again, I will go before you into Galilee. Peter answered and said unto him, though all men shall be offended because of thee, yet, I'm doing a little dramatic inflection here, yet will I never be offended. Pretty bold. Great statement. Now, let me ask you this. Do you think Peter was sincere? Oh, he was. I believe 100% he was. He said, God, I'm not going to do that. I am going to stand firm. I'm not going to be scattered. I'm going to stand by you all the way. Jesus said unto him, verily I say unto thee, that this night before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. Peter said unto him, though I should die with thee, yet will I not deny thee. Likewise also said all the disciples. Now listen, to that point, great story. These are guys pressing toward the mark, right? They've walked with Jesus. They've been with him the whole time. They've been through all the circumstances, all the difficulties, and they're banded together, and they're going to do it, right? Well, just a few verses later, Peter sat without in the palace, and a damsel came unto him, saying, thou also was with Jesus of Galilee. It's a little girl. Big, tough Peter. I just cut some guy's ear off. Ha! This little girl comes up to him. Weren't you with Jesus? No. No, I wasn't. I mean, he said, hey, I'm going to die with you. Let the soldiers come and pierce me through. And a little girl got him to fall. That's a failure. Would you agree? He failed. He denied before them all, saying, I know not what thou sayest. And when he was gone out into the porch, another maid saw him and said unto them that were there, this fellow was also with Jesus of Nazareth. And again he denied with an oath, I do not know the man. And after a while, came unto him that stood by and said to Peter, surely thou also art one of them, for thy speech bewrayeth thee. Then began he to curse and to swear, saying, I know not the man. And immediately the cock crew, and Peter remembered the word of Jesus, which said unto him, before the cock crow, thou shalt deny me thrice. And he went out and wept bitterly. Epic failure. This man's life was over. Certainly he can't recover from this. Folks, I mean, I know it's not wise to compare ourselves among ourselves. I understand that. But honestly, in our lives, do you think any of us have done anything worse? Failed worse than Peter failed? Maybe equal. And maybe worse. But do you understand the magnitude of this? And what was his life over? I go a fishing, right? Even after he'd seen the Lord. But you understand, his life wasn't over. These failures are not life ending. You know what we need to do? Forgetting those things which are behind. I press toward the mark. What did Peter ultimately have to come to grips with? His failure. I failed. A righteous man falls 7 times and does what? Rises up again. You understand, Jesus understood this truth. In John 21, he goes to Peter and simply says, Simon, son of Jonas, lovest thou me more than these? He does it how many times? 3. How many times did he deny Christ? Oh, glorious restoration. Folks, God wants to restore us. He doesn't want to leave us broken. Oh, yes, we're going to fail. Yes, we're going to turn our backs on God. Yes, those things may come to pass in your life, but you don't have to stay there. You can forget those things which are behind and press toward the mark. Remember another man? In Acts 15, some days after, Paul said unto Barnabas, let us go again and visit our brethren in every city where we have preached the word of the Lord and see how they do. And Barnabas determined to take with them John, whose surname was Mark. But Paul thought it not good to take him with them, who departed from them, from Pamphylia, and went not with them to the work. And the contention was so sharp between them that they departed asunder, one from the other. And so Barnabas took Mark and sailed to Cyprus. And Paul chose Silas and departed, being recommended by the brethren unto the grace of God. And he went through Syria and Cilicia, confirming the churches. John Mark failed somewhere along the journey. But you know what it says in 2 Timothy? Do thy diligence to come shortly unto me, for Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world, and is departed unto Thessalonica, Cretans to Galatia, Titus unto Dalmatia. Only Luke is with me. Take Mark and bring him with thee, for he is profitable to me for the ministry. Mark could have lived in that failure. He could have been hurt by Paul's words and quit the ministry. All the countless people that have quit God because of failure. You know what the devil sees that as? A victory. Because that's one less servant of God that's going to serve faithfully. That's one less person that's going to tell someone else about Christ. That's one less person that's going to press toward the mark because they're remembering the failures in life that they've had for the cause of Christ. Forgetting those things which are behind. Forget that carnal life. Forget the sin. Forget the past failures. And then one more. Forget the successes. You know what happens to us? We as human beings have an inherent sense of do we not? Oh, yeah. And, you know, all along here in this text that we've read, Paul talks about not having attained, right? He's like, hey, but by this time, here as he's writing to the church in Philippi, he has accomplished a lot. He has had many successes. And he said, guys, I am not there yet. I'm not going to sit and rest on the laurels of success and take all these. Yeah, I've accomplished a bunch of things for God. I've started a bunch of churches. I've seen thousands of people come to know Christ. I have set this world on fire and I've even turned this world upside down. Yeah. I'm ready. I'm ready to go. Well, at this point in time, he hadn't reached his course. He hadn't finished it. He hadn't done all those things completely yet. There was still more to do. There was still more to accomplish. He was not yet ready to be offered, as he wrote in 2 Timothy. You understand, he was still pressing toward the mark, and he couldn't remember the successes if he was going to continue. Hey, listen, I'm all for the successes. I'm for the accomplishments. I'm for getting to lead someone to Christ. But you can't live there. You've got to forget those things which are behind and press toward the mark. Sometimes we get satisfied. And then we get complacent and apathetic. And our life is not worth anything. Oh, I'm so glad you got to lead someone to the Lord last year. But what about this year? Oh, I'm so glad you had a spiritual victory 10 years ago in your life. But what about the last 10 years? What about now? What about this year coming up? Do you understand? We cannot just live on those successes. We've got to press toward the mark. We know pride goeth before destruction and an haughty spirit before a fall. We know that it says in 1 Corinthians, Paul says, wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. You can't live on those successes. You can't live on the things that you have done. What about the things that you are doing now? I think that fits into the category when Jesus said, no man having put his hand to the plow and looking back. How many of you know agriculture? You understand this idea of the plow, right? Where are you supposed to be looking if you're going to plow a straight furrow? At a fixed point. Somewhere out there. You know what that fixed point is? Jesus Christ. If you look back at the successes, oh, look at that thing. Look at that furrow I did. And look at that furrow I did. And pretty soon this furrow is going to be like this. It's going to be all over the place. It's not going to be good for planting. It's not going to be good for harvesting. It's not going to be good for anything. We got to forget those things which are behind. That includes the carnal life. That includes sin. That includes the past failures. And that includes the successes. I'm glad that the Lord has been able to work through this local church these past 2 years. And you know what? And with us these past 22 years. And all those things are wonderful. But we can't dwell on the past. We need to look forward. We need to press toward the mark. We need to remember, again, it's not about us and what we accomplish, but it's about Christ. Jesus said in John 15, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except it abide in the vine, no more can ye except ye abide in me. I am the vine, ye are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same bringeth forth much fruit. But listen to this. It's not about the bearing of the fruit. It's not about remembering how much fruit you bore. Here's what matters. For without me, ye can do nothing. Folks, anything that God has ever accomplished in this local church or in you as an individual is not because of you. It's because of him. And we've got to remember that and forget the past successes. Forget the past failures. Forget the past and old life. Galatians chapter 6. It says, For if a man think himself to be something, when he is nothing, he deceiveth himself. Let every man prove his own work, then shall he have rejoicing in himself alone and not in another. For every man shall bear his own burden. Let him that is taught in the word communicate unto him that teacheth in all good things. Be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. But he that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. And let us not be weary in well doing. For in due season we shall reap if we faint not. As we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them who are of the household of faith. I just want to be an encouragement to you as we kind of put together a pattern for success in pressing toward the mark. Paul says, brethren, I count not myself to have apprehended, But this one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind. I think it's important. I know it's kind of funny to say this. It's important for us to remember to forget. Forget that old life. This world has nothing to offer you. The pleasures and temporal pleasures of this world are nothing. They're nothing to be remembered. There's no fun in them. There's no good in them anymore because we are a new creature in Christ. We're dead to that. Forgetting. The past failures, you may have failed. Forgetting. Or you may have had some successes, Christian. Forgetting those things which are behind.